Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. For the past 12 years, the Coldest Night of the Year Walk is held in Port Hope to raise money for the Greenwood Coalition. This year's goal is $60,000. Affordable housing is a significant issue in Northumberland County. This is on top of the pressures of rising grocery prices, gas, and a host of other expenses. It is placing pressure on a wide range of people in the community, even some you might not expect. In this interview, Lana Misson, the event coordinator, will emphasize the event's educational component and inclusivity, while also addressing concerns about shelter access and policy changes, and she will provide details on how the community can get involved. Take a listen and see what you think. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome back Lana Misson, event director for Port Hope Coldest Night of the Year.
Thank you so much, Rob.
I understand the event began locally around 2015 or 2016. How has the Coldest Night of the Year in this area changed over the years?
Certainly. 2015 was our first walk. This is our 12th year of Coldest Night of the Year, Port Hope. It started with some really dedicated folks. I think we had just shy of 100 walkers and $25,000 raised in our first year. And we're looking at now over 250 walkers, over 40 teams. Last year, we raised over $60,000. And so to go from, about 100 people to, in some years, we've had over 300 walkers join us through the streets of Port Hope. It's pretty magical to see the community come out with more and more people and more families every year.
Now, the name of this is the Port Hope Coldest Night of the Year, or the Coldest Night of the Year, Port Hope. Is it just for Port Hope?
This walk specifically is to support Greenwood Coalition, which is Port Hope based. And in general, though, Coldest Night of the Year is a national program that's run by Blue Sea. And so there are walks happening all across Canada and the United States to support local organizations to them on February 28th.
But what about the rest of Northumberland? Can people outside of Port Hope be involved in this?
Oh, yes, certainly. So people can sign up to wherever they're from if they'd like to support and walk in Port Hope. They can also sign up to walk remotely. So we have had some folks in Campbellford before sign up and do their own walk to fundraise for Coldest Night Port Hope. We've had people do walks in Colborne, Brighton, across Northumberland that sort of work for them. Sometimes they're a community group that get together and they want to be able to support the organization, they can do that too.
Now, what is different about the event in 2026?
I think 2026 puts us in a position where we are starting from St. Paul's Presbyterian Church again. So right downtown in Port Hope, this is our second year doing that. We're really excited to offer a different walking route this year. So we'll have folks together for a longer portion. This is a 2 kilometer or a 5 kilometer walk. And we work really hard to make sure that we're highlighting some of the beautiful pieces of downtown. So the downtown core on Walton Street, which is open, which is, a big to do in this day and age, and the beautiful waterfront as well. We'll have our chili social afterwards. And we're hoping to get a bit of live entertainment at the end to enjoy celebrating our beautiful walk together.
Now, at the very start of this, our conversation, you mentioned a lot of numbers real fast. So maybe we could just go over those again and slow down a bit.
Certainly.
How many people have signed up so far?
At the moment, we are just over 50 people that have signed up at the moment, but there's still lots of time. So we have the walk takes place on February 28th, the last day of the month, and people can sign up even at the event prior to the walk happening. So there's lots of time to gather your friends, your family, and put in a team.
You've mentioned now team a couple of times. For people who may not be familiar with the walk, what's all this team stuff about?
Yes, certainly. So the walk is set up where there's a team captain, and then they can recruit walkers to join them. So we'll have some cases we have had rotary groups, we have had scouts, we've had different businesses, and they will put in a team. And so all their coworkers or friends can join them, and they can fundraise together, friendly competition against other teams as well.
Now, if I heard you right, you said there's about 50 people who have signed up so far. Now, how many does that compare to last year? How many in total did you have last year?
Last year in total, walkers, we had about 200 walkers last year.
So you've still got a ways to go to match last year. If people are interested, how do they participate? How do you, what's the process by which you can either go on your own or you can join a team or however that works?
Certainly. So you can go to cnoy.org/Port Hope. And that will take you to the location page. And from there, you can click to sign up to join a team. You can sign up to start your own team. You can see who's already signed up and maybe donate to a friend or encourage them with their goals. And you can also sign up to volunteer with us.
So you just mentioned about donating. So if I can't come out or I just don't want to walk in the cold, I can still participate then?
Yes. Yes, we have people that donate from across Ontario, supporting their friends or their colleagues by offering a donation of any amount that's comfortable for them. And they're tax receipted as well.
Now, you've said there's a 2-kilometer walk and there's a 5-kilometer walk. If I have young kids or I'm older, how does that work?
Definitely. So we try to make sure in general that the walk is not all uphill, as we know the slopes of Port Hope, and as accessible as possible. But if folks find at any point, if they want to come out and their ability is less than a 2-kilometer, that is perfectly okay too. We have route marshals throughout that can help folks navigate. There was also a sweep vehicle that comes by for safety. And so there's easy options to return back to St. Paul's ahead of time and warm up and enjoy the meal then. And again, like I said, if you want to, walk remotely or do your own, around your block in solidarity that way, that's always an option as well.
Last year, your goal was $50,000. What is it this year?
Last year, our goal was $50,000 and we raised over $60,000. And so this year, our goal is $60,000, which we are hoping to, in any fundraising campaign, you love to surpass it if you can. But we're quite confident with our $60,000 goal this year.
So people may know that this money goes towards the Greenwood Coalition. First off, who is the Greenwood Coalition for anybody who doesn't know?
Greenwood Coalition is a community organization that's been around for 15 years. We work to provide judgment-free creative programming for folks experiencing homelessness, hunger, and hurt, living on the margins, or any other background, space, place folks may come from. We work really hard to create sort of a third space. So a space that isn't work, a space that isn't home, a place where you can come and connect in community and find a sense of belonging. And so we offer a variety of programs that range from, we're doing a yoga wellness program right now in Port Hope. We have creative arts programming. We've offered Red Path Recovery. And so we work really hard to create spaces that build longer tables and not higher fences that bring everyone from the community from all walks of life together.
You mentioned the Red Path program. For people who don't know what that is, could you tell us?
Certainly. So the Red Path program is originally based from White Path Consulting Group out of Peterborough. And it uses indigenous ways of well-being in some of the content. And it's broken up into sort of 21 sections for folks on a healing recovery journey to be able to participate in with facilitation to work towards more mindfulness, well-being. There's some creative aspects involved as well. And so Greenwood's been running that program for a variety of years now.
You mentioned that you're hoping to raise $60,000. How much of this money makes up the total budget for Greenwood?
This year, we typically our coldest night of the year fundraising is about 25% of our budget with Greenwood. And so that's coming into 2016, that's going to stay on par with how we've operated prior.
There was a lot of changes taking place over this last year in regards to supporting unsheltered people. One of those major changes was the switch at 310 Division Street or Transition House from a low barrier model to a higher barrier. This meant it only accepted lower to moderate needs individuals. I would like to know your thoughts on this.
I think we're all operating in the housing continuum, and we're seeing that show up in various ways in Northumberland County right now. And I think every organization has an opportunity to focus on their strengths and their abilities and where they can fit within that housing continuum. And so that ranges everything from market rate housing all the way down through emergency shelter, supportive shelter, attainable housing, affordable housing, and up the rental market as well. And I think I can't speak to another organization's choices as to what they feel is best for them and their ability to fulfill their mandate. But what I can share is that we're all in this together and trying to navigate multiple crises. And that is nonprofits. We work as collaboratively as possible to meet the needs of the individuals we walk alongside.
Now, as people are walking along through this fundraiser, they're being asked to also at the same time contemplate issues like the one we've just talked about. And just last week, the interim executive director of Transition House, Christian Harvey, said that half the people currently using the shelter are seniors. Does that surprise you?
From working in nonprofit and housing and homelessness for a decade, Rob, unfortunately, it does not. I wish it did. I wish the stat that 50% of folks that were that Transition House is noticing is seniors would be shocking and alarming. Having worked with Greenwood for a decade now, you know, I've witnessed firsthand the stories of individuals that have nowhere else to go. And oftentimes we are one unfortunate situation away from being housed or being not housed. And that could be illness. It could be stepping into a caregiving role. It could be your house being sold that you're renting in. It could be a whole variety of, it could be being laid off. There's a whole lot of scenarios that can happen that are oftentimes outside of our control. And I think there's a stigma and a shame that comes with that. So that even to the point of being able to reach out to access shelter care as a senior, that number is actually probably proportionately much higher across Northumberland County. As well, what we identify as homelessness actually has a very broad definition. So if folks are couch surfing, if they're living in their cars, if they're precariously housed in someone else's apartment or backyard or variety of survival options people have found, that number's not necessarily being reported either. And so it gives us also an opportunity, though, to reflect on what supports and projects can we put in place to best support an aging population that is seeking somewhere safe to live.
Now, I appreciate the coldest night of the year is meant to be a fun time and everybody gets together and it's a building of a community. But at the same time, we've just talked about a couple of key issues within the community. I wonder how much education goes on as part of the walk.
Definitely. I think part of what we aim to do leading up to the walk is we have community spotlights from individuals that have been long-term supporters of us to share in their own words why it's important to them that they walk in community with Coldest Night of the Year Port Hope and what it means to them in their own words as to why, having 12 years of this walk is integral to Northumberland County and our neighbors. And the one piece that I truly love about the walk is that it is inclusive of everyone. When you're out there walking side by side with your matching toques, there's no differentiation of what your day has looked like prior to showing up, what your day might look afterwards, what trials or tribulations or things you may be carrying. And I think we also often operate from a position of perceived stability. And you can't necessarily see if someone's struggling or not just by looking at a person, right? And I think because we're all coming from different walks of life and building as inclusive and family-friendly fun event as possible, that by bringing people in using and sharing their own words as to why it's important, but then in the lead up to the event, we make sure that there's literature from community partners. We have folks speak about Greenwood and the work that we're doing while we're all gathered together before we go to walk. And I think reminding folks that it is the coldest night of the year, and us being out for 20 minutes, 30 minutes on a walk, is just a snippet of that discomfort or the experience that our neighbors may be living day in, day out.
It seems particularly relevant, especially when you think that Northumberland County Social Services Committee was told at its last meeting earlier this month that 50 people were turned away from the shelter in December. And as I'm sure you know, and probably many of the listeners, the county did open a warming room at its building in Coburg, which is meant to give people living unsheltered a place to go at night. And yet one of the users, I believe Chance Brown, spoke to the county council last month saying that people were not even being allowed to sleep. Now, I understand that policy has changed, but when you learn of these situations and the final outcome, what message do you want walkers to take away from that?
I think the message we'd like walkers to come away with from Coldest Night of the Year is being able to witness a community coming together side by side to show up for one another and take that energy and that passion and the ability to know that we can build a caring community where everyone belongs. And it might seem fanciful at times, or that there's, you know, ongoing barriers, but everything starts with a really small idea sometimes. And that if we can focus on the positive changes that we can make as a community and feel empowered with our voices and our abilities to show up in any small way that we can. I see often in different dialogues that it's not about everyone doing everything perfect. It's about, you know, a handful of people showing up and doing the best they can day in and day out to continue that social change. And I think, I mean, I know from the programming that Coldest Nights supports is that there's these beautiful moments of connection day, like every day, and often over a cup of coffee or learning someone's name and just, you know, witnessing the shared humanity together is such a beautiful act of, in some cases, resistance or resilience by, you know, recognizing that we are all people at the end of the day. And this is all some place that, like, we all call this area home. And I think it's through these small moments of compassion and empowerment that we can move forward together.
I know you've mentioned this information before, but I'd like you to offer it one more time. How can people get involved? Can you give us the details one more time, day and time, all that stuff?
Yeah, certainly. So there's a couple different ways you can get involved with Coldest Night of the Year Port Hope on our 12th walk. You can join a team to walk. You can start your own team, or you could volunteer or donate. To do that, you can go to cnoy.org/Port Hope, and all of the information on our walk is there. We have also been hosting monthly community dinners through the generous sponsorship of Don Emond at Asante Wealth. And our next one is coming up on Monday, and that is January the 19th, and that is at St. Paul's Presbyterian Church at 5 p.m. We also have a kickoff party before the walk. So on Friday, February 27th at Ganaraska Brewing Company, we will have a live auction and live music from musician Kale Crow. And that is open to all to come and partake in a kickoff party ahead of time. And then our walk is on Saturday, February the 28th. And also large thank you to the Chamber of Port Hope and the Municipality of Port Hope for their ongoing support year in and year out, and as well returning sponsor CIBC Port Hope too.
If someone has questions, where can they get some answers?
If you're on our Coldest Night website, there's an easy button to email us for info. Otherwise, you can also contact us at cnoyporthope@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page that's Coldest Night of the Year Port Hope, and an Instagram, CNOY Port Hope as well.
Lena Misson, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, thank you.
That was Lana Misson, event director for the Port Hope Coldest Night of the Year. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.